Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find three new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thousands of Iowans have family and loved ones in India. Later this hour, in our second half hour, how Indian Americans here in Iowa are coping with the COVID surge over there in India. But first, you are not alone. That is the message from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, for May, Mental Health Awareness Month. So this half hour, we'll look at mental health and mental illness more than a year into this pandemic. Joining us to do that, Steve Miller is a mental health advocate. He serves on the board for NAMI of Linn County. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ben. Thanks a lot.
Before we talk, Steve, I want to remind our listeners, tell us about the mental health challenges you've experienced due to COVID. Join our conversation, me and Steve, hopefully Peggy, in a moment. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Steve, as a mental health advocate, you really do a great job of breaking down stigma by part of the way by sharing your background of mental illness. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about your background and what you've been struggling with throughout life.
I'd be glad to, Ben. Thanks a lot. I got sick at 19 and very sick for 17 years. I was suffering with mental health issues. For 10 of those years, I was delusional and hallucinating and psychotic. It was just a horrible situation. And it was just pounding at you all day, every day, just so uncomfortable and so sick. But new medications came out after a decade of suffering. I was so happy it worked. Mm-hmm. After a couple of hours, my nervousness finally started going away, which was one of the worst things. And then after a little later than that, my thinking started to clear up. So I felt so much better. I was still having trouble. And then 7 years later, I added one other med. And so it's been since about 1997, I've been into recovery, Ben, and I feel like I'm one of the most fortunate guys there is around.
Well, you sound good. And it's really important to get out here the mental health success stories like yours, Steve, because I know you do a lot of speaking. And I don't know if this was true of you, but having such a severe mental illness for so long can be discouraging, to say the least, where you give up, you don't think there's any hope, I bet, Steve, at some point.
It's so hopeless. And you have nothing going for yourself. I was so isolated, seeing nobody, couldn't do a thing. It was just a horrible situation. But it was like, I actually, when I first took that clozapine, I thought, man, it's like a miracle. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Was finally able to come out the other side and be able to put a life back together.
Yeah.
You wanted me to talk a little bit about COVID, right, Ben?
Yeah, let's have you talk, because we've known each other for a few years. You have been on the show a couple times over the past years. How has this pandemic...
We see each other on Facebook too, Ben.
Absolutely. How has pandemic affected your mental health, Steve? What has this been like? Because the rest of us is... Of course, we've got so much anxiety throughout society and people finding ways to cope with the isolation, the anxiety, the worry. What's it been like for you, Steve?
So it is. I mean, it's a very isolating illness. And along with mental health, too, it's like a double hit of isolation and loneliness. I haven't been able to see my friends and my colleagues and go to meetings and committees and speaking, and even affected my writing, but made it more difficult. I've been able to come out the other side. I've had both shots, and I didn't get COVID, so I was lucky there. But we're also saying with COVID, before COVID, we were saying 1 in 5 people will have a mental health issue at any time during the year.
Right.
And after COVID, now we're saying 1 in 4. So it's definitely a factor.
Okay, Steve, this is a good point. Dovetailed nicely into Peggy Huppert, because I think we've have her now on the line. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Welcome back to the program, Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa. You know Steve well. Let's pick up there where Steve went, talking about his own personal...
Hi, Steve.
Steve talking about his own personal experience with COVID. Broadly speaking, Peggy, what can you say about how the pandemic has affected mental health and mental illness?
Well, just as Steve has said, that what we know is nationally, it's gone from 1 in 5 to 1 in 4. Adults are now experiencing a mental health challenge in any given year. But we also know that in October of last year, Iowa adults were surveyed, and 42% said that they were dealing with either anxiety or depression. Well, that's more than twice the number that was the case before the pandemic. So it's had an enormous impact, and it will continue to.
I want to give out also at the end of our discussion the helpline, and then in just after I do, tell us how that's been utilized during COVID. It's 1-800-273-8255. This is really a helpline, Peggy, for anyone. You know, if you think you're having a mental health crisis or just want someone to talk to, Peggy, mm-hmm. this is a number to call, and you can be directed to resources that will help you, right?
Right. You're okay. Iowa. It's a statewide crisis 24/7, every day, every hour, supported by the state. And it's a great resource, whether you're in crisis or whether you just need help for something longer term. It's a great resource. You can call, you can text. You can also go to their website and to find resources and get help.
Right. And you can jot this number down for a loved one, perhaps slip them a note and say, you know, that these people are there for you 24/7. So this is the number again. 1-800-273-8255. And Peggy, tell us, has there been an uptick on the use of that line during COVID?
Well, there has. I mean, NAMI does not run that, but we recommend it frequently, and we know that there has been a major increase. We also have, NAMI does run a helpline nationally. And we know that calls from last March to this March were up 93%. Most of those related to anxiety and depression.
Right.
Rates of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and those remain pretty constant, mm-hmm. you know, at 1-3% or 4%. But anxiety and depression are what we are seeing, and especially among young people. That's where we're really seeing it have the most effect because of the isolation.
Right, and that's, you anticipated my question. What types of mental illness are most affected here? So when we talk about anxiety and depression really having an uptick here, when that is triggered by whatever conditions, isolation, worry about the pandemic, what type of treatment? Does that change the treatment? What can you say about that if that is seemingly triggered by COVID conditions?
Well, what we know is that a lot of people were struggling with these before the pandemic, and then the pandemic was the factor that caused them to not be able to successfully deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's rare that that's the only factor,
okay.
But you know, it can be treated. There's help available. Usually the best practice is a combination of medication and talk therapy. But NAMI is another resource. And I always have to mention that, you know, we offer education and support, and it's just helping people who are struggling or their loved ones to learn more about it and how to deal with it and how to get support.
Right.
And that's not clinical.
Right, and your website is namiiowa.org, NAMI with an I, so N-A-M-I, Iowa.org.
That's right.
All right, let's go to our phones. We're asking those who have had perhaps a struggle with mental illness, mental health, to share their story or ask a question of Peggy or Steve during this hour. Peggy, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa, with us until halfway through the hour, I should say. Steve Miller, mental health advocate, serves on the board for NAMI in Linn County and such a great spokesperson and advocate, mental health advocate, as someone who, as he just described, has suffered in the past from mental illness. Fortunately, there are help in a variety of ways. You just need to reach out for help often. Let's go to Beth in Ottumwa.
Thank you very much for the kind words, Ben.
Thank you, Steve. Beth is on the line with us as well. Beth from, is it Ottumwa?
Yes.
Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program. What do you want to chip in?
Wasn't diagnosed with schizophrenia until I moved to Iowa when I was 42 years old, and I've gotten good treatment here. And the pandemic has, talk therapy and medication, and the pandemic has affected me. Washington Post coined the term languishment. That's kind of what my, just a blah feeling, not really depressed, but super anxious, and but I haven't had a psychotic episode since 10 years ago.
What resources have you been reaching out for when you know this is an extra stressful time, Beth, to help you through this time?
Sometimes I can get an extra appointment with my counselor or friends. It's been extra hard because my boyfriend of 15 years died towards the beginning of the pandemic. So I've been living alone and in isolation, and I'm at high risk. So I've totally minimized my going out in the community.
So, Beth, I am so sorry to hear about the death of your boyfriend. Our condolences. So sorry. What a struggle. Peggy, you wanted to jump in there, I think.
Well, Beth, I just want to say you're not alone. What you described is actually very common. It's certainly not limited to people with serious mental illnesses. It's actually, I think, more common than not. A lot of people have struggled. And one thing I wanted to point out is that in Iowa, at least, it's not just the pandemic. Just meaning, of course, this is the once-in-a-century event that's affected everyone. But within the last year, we have to remember that we've also had a drought in Iowa. We've had the derecho, which literally came out of the sky and devastated huge swaths of the state. And
we
had a very contentious...
We lost 50% of our trees here in Cedar Rapids.
I know. Cedar Rapids was just devastated. And then we've had a very contentious election.
Right.
Certainly the most contentious in recent history in our country. That was very emotional and very anxiety producing for a lot of people. So then there's the economic consequences of the pandemic, which also have affected a lot of people. So it's really all those things combined is like essentially a group trauma. And we have to recognize the seriousness of that and the impact of that and deal with it and help each other.
Right. And speak about it. And Steve and now and Beth there, Peggy talked to this because Beth and Steve are both examples of courage, of brave people stepping forward. And this, Peggy, would not have happened to this extent years ago by speaking about it publicly, like we speak about other ailments, physical ailments.
Right.
It reduces the stigma, and it helps others get help, right, Peggy?
Absolutely. The first step in getting help is asking for it. And what we know, the CDC did a very big study on suicide several years ago and calling it a national public health crisis. And what they found is that there were a lot of young men of color belonging to minority communities who took their own lives, and their loved ones reported surprise. They said they had no idea that the person was even suffering, what they were suffering with. And that's because the stigma is still so deep and present in culturally all over. It's certainly gotten better in like my demographic, older white women. But in a lot of communities, the stigma is still very strong. And so people are not even reporting what they're struggling with in order to find help. And unfortunately, the ultimate outcome of that can be taking their own lives. So obviously, we want to address that. Suicide rates have gone up during the pandemic. Deaths of desperation, which are not just suicide, but also drug overdoses and other deaths have gone up significantly. So we all have to, as I said, we have to recognize it, mm-hmm. talk about it, and reach out for help and help each other.
Beth, was that difficult for you at any point to reach out for help, or was it at some point your choice just to keep that inside and try to cover it up, or not?
No, I know what works for me, and so I've kept my support group of close friends for many years, and I've reached out to them when I can't get a counseling appointment, you know, so.
Yeah. And Steve, what about you? Sorry, Beth, go ahead.
It's okay. I see him by teletherapy every week, and I'm really concerned that they're going to end teletherapy payment by Medicaid in July. I think that's a mistake.
Well, I want Peggy to address that in a moment. I want to get to Steve, because telehealth and the use of telehealth in this area has really been a silver lining, I think. But Steve, to finish up quickly the point about reaching out, did you feel like you could always reach out, or was that a hurdle that really took some strength to overcome?
When I was sick, it was such a hurdle, Ben. I didn't know where to go, what to do, how to do. I didn't know a darn thing. And our family had no experience with mental health, so it was new to us, and it just took a long time.
Yeah.
Before you go, I just want to mention one quick thing about, we're saying that but depression and anxiety is rising right now. I think the young people coming up seem to be more understanding, and they don't have the same stigma we had with older generations, which is a very good thing. In fact, I don't know if I should say this, but it seems like some of them, it's almost a badge of honor to say you have depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I'm giving a speech, I always say there is always hope. People are getting better all the time. We got new medications and therapies, so the future is bright, and I just want people to hang in there. If you do need help, you have the help numbers. Our NAMI here in Linn County is 319-221-1184, and you can call Peggy, I'm sure, at her office, and she can direct you to the nearest NAMI affiliate in the state. And Ben, thanks so much for having this important subject on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having the courage to air your experiences. We have about 5 minutes left. I wanted to go to Peggy here for sure to share the silver lining here. Telehealth, how much has that made a difference? Has that made more people seek help who would have otherwise perhaps not gone physically to a place?
Absolutely. The explosion of telehealth, especially for behavioral health, has been a definite silver lining of the pandemic. There's no question that many, many more people have gotten help, especially in a state like Iowa that is mostly rural, and we have a critical lack of providers. So it just makes sense that any way that we can expand the access to the providers that we do have is a win. We've seen patient satisfaction is sky high, and the number of no-shows, which is a big problem with behavioral health, has gone way down because we're making it easier for people. I remember a farmer telling us in a discussion in November that he had reached out for help, but the closest therapist that he could find who he worked for him was a 2-hour drive. So going to a therapy appointment was pretty much an all day undertaking. And that's difficult, especially, you know, during certain seasons. But he said, you know, during harvest this year, he was able to have his therapy appointment from the cab of his tractor.
Huh.
And he said, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of that because I can do it. And if I had to go in person, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
So I want to assure Beth that Medicaid is going to continue to pay for telehealth at 100%. Medicare is, and I believe we're going to see an agreement with our private insurers for the same thing. So it's a huge priority for us. And I also wanted to echo what Steve said. Another silver lining of this pandemic has been, I think, a greater acceptance of talking about mental health. And I absolutely agree with him that young people are much more willing to share their stories, to share their journey, to talk about it. And it's changing. It's definitely changing. And that is a very bright spot.
So the stigma is getting busted, Ben. I just wanted to mention real quick, we have new access centers in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Mm-hmm. Last week we had started walk-in traffic here at the access center here in Cedar Rapids, and they're both cutting-edge stuff. So when police pick up somebody that's obviously in crisis, they don't have to go to the emergency room or the hospital. They can go to the access center and get help 24/7. So we're very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are terrific, Steve. Thank you for mentioning those. And we hope to see those all around the state within the next few years.
Right, and Peggy, perhaps...
My clinic here in Ottumwa opened theirs up recently, too.
Wonderful. Sounds like such progress. This is so exciting. We've come to the end of our half hour, though, I just want to remind any listeners who may have tuned in a little bit late, Peggy Huppert, the executive director of NAMI Iowa, has been with us this half hour. You can get in touch with NAMI Iowa by going to their website, namiiowa.org, namiiowa.org. The crisis line, for whatever, if you just want to share thoughts, is always there 24/7, as Peggy mentioned, 1-800-273-8255. And thanks to Peggy and Steve Miller, mental health advocate, serving on the board for NAMI in Linn County. And one of our listeners from Ottumwa, Beth, we wish you the best of mental health and health otherwise. Beth, thank you for calling in. Steve, thank you. And Peggy, of course, thank you.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Indian American community, those among us who have relatives, family in India, suffering that horrible surge in COVID. We'll talk about it when we come back. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find three new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.